Welcome back to another episode of Professionals Podcasting. In this episode, licensed therapist Lindsay Hoskins answers the question, is there such a thing as too late for couples therapy?
This is actually a question that we hear a lot from couples in our clinic. And, you know, obviously we work with couples across the spectrum of different experiences, people who've been together a short time and people who've been together many, many years and everything in between. And lots of these couples come in with communication breakdown, unresolved conflicts, lots of unmet needs, emotional and physical disconnection. And, you know, obviously the longer that stuff has been going on, the bigger the task is that we have before us at the start of therapy. So, you know, those couples that have been dealing with problems for a pretty long time will often worry that maybe they've started therapy too late. Is it possible that therapy can still work for them? So I think what they're really asking is, you know, can you really help us? Is there reason to be hopeful here? And I think, you know, from my perspective, the answer to the question is, honestly, maybe it is too late. I think there is such a thing as too late. You know, if problems have been going on so long that people have really disconnected, focused their attention elsewhere, on other relationships, then that sort of, those sort of betrayals have started to take place. It is possible that therapy is not going to make a difference. And, you know, that is certainly something that we see. But I also think that when people come in with, you know, the desire to repair their relationship and the willingness to really commit, then therapy can help, you know, as long as a few things are present. So I wanted to talk about, you know, a few things that I think most often get in the way of successful therapy. And the reason I attached it to this topic is because I think these things tend to be more present when, you know, problems have been going on a long time. And so these are the things that can get in the way of therapy being successful, or that can make therapy, make it sort of too late for therapy. So I'm going to tell you five different things that I think get in the way of successful therapy, and then how to put your best foot forward on each of them to overcome these challenges and, you know, pave the way for therapy to be successful. So the first one is a lack of motivation from one partner or sometimes both partners. And what I mean by this is the willingness to do what is the very, very hard work of meaningfully engaging in therapy. So good, effective therapy is hard work. And I think that if, you know, you're going to therapy and you're not working hard, I think you're probably not bringing everything you need to bring to the therapy room. We frequently see couples who come in for therapy and at least one of them is not so much there to work hard, but to sort of check the box and be able to say that they quote unquote tried everything before calling it quits. And that is sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're just there to check the box, then all that's going to happen is that the box gets checked and it doesn't really make a difference. So I think, you know, couples can put their best foot forward on this one by really working on their own readiness as individuals before they start couples therapy. And sometimes that means working with an individual therapist before they come to couples therapy. And that should, you know, be a different person. You should have your own person to work on your individual stuff with before you see someone that's a couples therapist. And another option sometimes is to see a clinician, a couples therapist who also offers something called discernment counseling, which is a process where an ambivalent partner or both ambivalent partners can work through their emotions and doubt, and both partners can be supported in deciding whether meaningful couples therapy is appropriate. So those are ways to overcome that lack of motivation. The second thing that I think can get in the way is unrealistic expectations. And for relationships that are really in a rough state, you know, progress can be fairly slow and setbacks are not uncommon. So if people come in thinking that things are going to change really quickly and easily, it is likely that those people would get frustrated when they're met with the reality of, you know, slow progress and setbacks. So a metaphor that I like to use here is that therapy is like cleaning out an old wound that was never properly disinfected. It can be a quite slow and painstaking process to pick every little yucky piece of whatever out of that wound. But if you don't do that, then the wound is not going to heal the way that it needs to heal. So that's what you have to sort of be prepared for in good therapy. So I think to put your best foot forward on this one, is really an honest self-assessment of your ability and willingness to stick it out through that process, and to be prepared for really some tough conversations, the possibility that things could get worse before they feel better. That does often happen in good couples therapy, because as we're going through the process of really understanding the history, putting everything on the table, figuring out what's getting in the way of things getting better. You know, it really does require a lot of each individual. So that's the second one, unrealistic expectations. The third thing that we see is that gets in the way is an unwillingness to put everything on the table, all of the relevant content on the table. So, you know, I always think people are surprised to hear that many couples come into therapy sort of having decided beforehand privately between the two members of the couple that there are certain things they won't discuss. And I've been treating couples for over 18 years, and it still surprises me every time this happens. Like, you know, people are coming to therapy. This is supposed to be like a really, you know, comprehensive healing process. And they're saying, well, topic X is off limits. So usually those things do eventually come out in couples therapy if people stick with it. Often that happens when one partner discloses to the therapist that the other partner refuses to talk about a certain topic. That's a common thing that we see. But this often happens after several sessions have already elapsed, and it requires the clinician to sort of rethink their treatment plan. It can really slow things down. It can really get in the way quite significantly. So I think putting your best foot forward on this front means sitting down either together or separately and really making a list of everything that has become a challenge in the relationship. And then if you've done the list separately, to sit down together and look at your list and agree that everything on that collective list is fair game for discussion. So if one partner thinks something is a problem, then it's a problem in the relationship and it deserves some attention in therapy. And then early in the therapy process, when the therapist is really working on getting to know you and understanding the situation, really be honest and comprehensive in your answers so that the therapist can understand all the pieces and how they fit together. The fourth piece is a lack of accountability. And the best way to describe this is to think about relationships as systems, and all the parts of a system impact each other. So when a system slides into dysfunction, it's because each element has played a role in that breakdown in some way. That doesn't mean that accountability has to be equally shared between partners. That's not the point. It's just that everybody has a role in the problem. And that means that everybody has a role in the solution, which is actually a good thing. And it's very empowering, I think, to think about, you know, I do have some power to make things different in this relationship. Couples therapy can't be effective unless both partners are really willing to thoughtfully and critically think about their contribution to the problem. So you can put your best foot forward on this one by spending some time focusing not on what your partner has done wrong, but on what you can do better. And that's a common thing that we see when people first come in. They really, you know, each partner often has a laundry list of grievances about the other person. And that's what they want to talk about at the beginning. Here's all the things that my partner has done that are wrong or that were hurtful, rather than saying, well, I've thought about it and here's what I think I need to work on or what I could do better. And that latter approach is actually much more helpful and gets things going in a positive direction much more quickly. So if people can bring with them that attitude and willingness to self-reflect and grow and change the way that they do things, then obviously therapy is gonna have a much better chance of being successful. And then the last thing that gets in the way is dishonesty. I think it should go without saying that couples therapy requires full honesty, but dishonesty does show up in the therapy room often enough that I think it merits a mention here. So if you find yourself thinking about how you can spin a story in therapy to make yourself look better, to make your partner look like they're at fault, or if betrayal is part of the relationship history, if there's been an affair in the past or financial infidelity, things like that, dishonesty in the therapy room can really derail the therapy or open up old wounds rather than ready them for healing. So to put your best foot forward on this one, I suggest reminding yourself that what you want, which is successful couples therapy that results in reconnection and relationship security, that is only available to you on the other side of honest conversations. Remember that your therapist is not judging you. Therapy is not a competition between partners. Your therapist is well equipped to help you handle whatever the honest truth is. And it's very hard to surprise a seasoned couple therapist. We've heard, you know, all kinds of things from all kinds of people. So you're not going to surprise or shock your therapist by being honest about what's going on in your relationship. So those are my five things that get in the way of successful couples therapy and are often more present in, you know, relationships where the problem's been present for a long time. I think I just want to mention that everything I've said assumes that a few basic things are present, and those are agreement between the partners that therapy is desired. That has to be present if both people aren't there willingly, if one person's dragging the other against their will. That obviously is not going to result in successful therapy. And then obviously safety has to be present. If one partner doesn't feel safe, if there's undisclosed abuse or untreated abuse, then therapy cannot be effective and is often not appropriate.